that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Yep. Hello, and welcome to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hi, cha-chi-cha-cha-cha-cha, can I turn on the radio?
And since it's just me and PK being responsible members of the show today, we're going to do it the way we want to do it.
Responsible.
That's us. We're responsible. We're on time. We're present. We're doing the show. And where is OG?
You've got a little Beatle thing going on there.
It's not quite a Beatle thing.
And I've got a little pirate thing going on there. This is fucking horrible.
Awful. Hey, new opening. I see some changes were made.
Yeah, a couple. That's cool. We're getting there. I got to fix a couple other little things. You know, the tin can introduction's got to be fixed. But at least I'm in there.
The tin can introduction?
Yeah, I had to record it on my laptop mic. So it sounds like I called it in on a cell phone. But, you know, whatever. My main concern was just getting that theme song up and running to give us more time to bullshit.
Right.
As opposed to the 30-minute opening that we had gone back to for a while.
It's true. We should point out, though, that OG is currently not present. We don't know when or if he will join us on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So PK and I are going to try to pull this off without him.
Yep. Yeah, that's that moonlighting, man. It's wearing him out.
You know, when you're... when you're spread like butter over too much bread, what was that? That was an analogy from Lord of the Rings, wasn't it?
Then you're toast.
Oh, burn.
Ooh. Sick burn.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm happy to dive right into the Star Wars shit, right?
No.
We
have so many other things to say before we dive right into the news.
Like?
Begathon.
Of course, the Begathon.
Right, and we currently have two sets of auctions that are going on over on eBay, and you can check out bkgeekstuff.com to get links to those sellers. There's some amazing stuff up right now. There's a whole bunch of Tonner and other sort of higher-end products up right now that people have donated, which is really great. So definitely check that out. And then San Diego exclusives. I think those ones are still going on.
I believe there's a couple still on the move for that one. Yes.
And then there's going to be even more, coming. I think this weekend there's going to be even more, but hey, you know, let's say, you don't want any products, or let's say that you, just want to make a donation. You can do that as well using our PayPal button over at bkgeekstuff.com. And I'm sure OG had some people he wanted to call out for making donations. But
he's left that list at work again, probably.
As he is not here, we will just say thank you to all the people who gave via the PayPal button this week.
You are loved. And I just a personal hats off to the fact that people are donating things to us to do this. That's mm-hmm. really remarkable and really awesome. And it's a testament to the kind of fan base you guys have cultivated of genuinely cool people.
Oh yeah, and we're totally, and we couldn't be more grateful than, especially at this time of year when we have the Begathon, and for you guys helping us out to keep the show going, to keep it on equipment that is from recent years rather than several years ago, and that kind of thing. And of course, to bring us to New York Comic Con this year, which we will be attending, and we will be having all sorts of fun and shenanigans going on there as well.
Oh, shenanigans.
Lots of shenanigans, yeah. So so there's that. There's another. Oh. Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to wait till the second half to drop that.
After, building the suspense already.
After the sponsor ad.
Ah, very nice.
Yes. So there's that, and this is episode 385, or as we like to call it, 15 more until 400. and we haven't actually started talking about what's going to happen for episode 400 of this program yet. However, I think we're going to do something.
We should do something.
I think we're going to do something.
I am flabbergasted because 400 episodes.
Now look, 400 episodes is just the episodes that we've put out online.
Right.
That does not count any of the XM satellite radio shows. That does not count any of the Sirius XM live shows that we did, and a couple of other things as well. So, I mean, yeah. And of course, I don't know. OG is ultimately going to make this call. It's either going to be episode 400 or it's going to be our 10th anniversary, 10-year anniversary, which is this spring.
Both of which are unbelievable milestones.
Yeah. So fantastic. I don't know. We're going to have to decide which one. I'm leaning towards 10th only because 400 is going to put us right around the holidays.
That's
going to be a little harder to do. So we'll probably do something for the 400th and the 10th anniversary. I just think the 10th anniversary thing will probably be
Pick a blockbuster for the one and maybe something a little slightly lower key for the other.
Yeah.
My first little guest hello for you guys was episode like 18, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Unbelievable.
A long, long time ago.
Hey, that sounds like a way to open a movie. And, yes. With that,
and with that, yes, let's dive.
Way to open some news about that very same
thing. Dive right into it. PK, what do you got?
So, the first thing I want to hit, we've got J.J. Abrams revealed the inspiration from the First Order for Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yeah, so we're starting to get more of these little J.J. Abrams giveaways, which is good. I'm glad he's not giving everything away, but at least he's given us a little bit of something, which is great.
And based on the imagery we've seen so far, this revelation is not remotely surprising whatsoever at all. We're looking at the inspiration, of course, is they kind of took into account, well, what if the Nazis went on down to Argentina and reassembled? And, perhaps their martyr was Darth Vader or something along the line of that. So, when that imagery popped up, people were already making that correlation. So there's really nothing spectacularly new there. But
I don't think Vader's the Hitler in that scenario. I think the Emperor would be the Hitler.
So he's the Vader would be Ron? Like,
no, Vader would be like the
– Or the Goebbels?
The Goebbels. Mm. Or no, the guy who ran the SS. I can't remember. Hess? Rudolf Hess? Was that who ran the SS?
Yes.
Or I don't know. Whoever the guy who ran the SS.
I'd have to look at a history lesson with that movie Valkyrie. That was very accurate.
So. That was really. I like that movie. Was that movie not very accurate?
From what I understand, not terribly. But,
oh, really?
I
actually really like that movie.
Still quite entertaining with the British Nazis.
The other bit that was revealed by JJ in that interview is, again, there's been a lot of discussion about the things that he said about Adam Driver's character Kylo Ren being a member of a group called the Knights of Ren. But JJ now confirms that does not mean that he is a member of the Sith. In fact, he says, quote, Kylo Ren is not a Sith. He works under Supreme Leader Snoke, who is a powerful figure on the dark side of the Force. And that's Andy Serkis's motion capture character. And he's doing the voice for him as well.
Mm. Now, first things first, Kylo Ren is not a Sith.
Yeah.
Let me back up a few years ago now to another JJ quote. John Harrison is not Khan.
Well, there's that.
So
there's that. But I think,
spoiler alert, sorry,
I think that I think the closer Star Wars analogy here would be Luke Skywalker was not a Jedi.
Mm.
So, I mean, Snoke is easily – again, if we're taking that whole turned on its ear episode 4, kind of version of this story, which we think is what's happening here.
Yep.
Is that this Snoke guy is kind of like the – perhaps the Obi-Wan of the dark side – And
so you think it's so Snoke himself would then probably be a Sith. So Snoke is a Sith, and we're looking at Ren as a.
I would think so. Mm. Is he out as a Sith? That's the question. Because don't forget, Palpatine wasn't out as a Sith until very much later in the series. And I also think it's another nod to, I want to learn about the dark side and become like my grandfather.
Right.
You know, like I think we're going to see this all sort of tying together that way. At least that's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Very, very interesting. And it's fun getting these little tidbits, which for me, they're making me salivate, and I don't think they're hitting spoiler territory.
Right.
It's nice. It's nice to get this, to get the speculation going on what's going to happen.
Well, we're going to get a whole large dump of information and speculation a week from tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Force Friday is,
I can't believe that's
midnight.
A week from tomorrow.
I know.
Insane.
But it is in line with the other releases. I mean,
yep.
they did release those toys way in advance of those movies.
I'm just talking about the wicked passage of time where it feels like 20 minutes ago when we just found out this movie was even happening. And that's what, a year, 2 years ago?
And now there's two of them in production and one in pre. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah. And the other part of that Star Wars rumor is that, and this is a rumor, is that Peter Cushing's Grand Moff Tarkin is being digitally recreated for Rogue One.
I find that there was the uproar for it on one side of it, but I'm behind it.
Yeah,
I dig this a lot, actually.
I don't get it. I don't understand why that would be a big deal.
Well, the uproar comes from, well, just cast another actor, and people are looking for Charles Dance, who isn't, mind you, an excellent choice. Charles Dance would be fabulous, I'm sure. Someone else has mentioned Tim Roth at one point, who is an interesting choice as well. Certainly,
well,
both certainly have a look and can pull off the gravitas, I think.
The problem with that is Episode 3. Episode 3 had Tarkin at the end, and it was some
you mean
sort of look-alike
mascot
actor
head Tarkin
with awful prosthetics.
Oof.
They try. I mean, they try.
They were smart, at least, in keeping it at a distance.
So I think that digitally recreating him rather than doing that method again, I think was probably the right way to go.
Right.
And everybody is concerned that, I mean, who's to say in what way we're seeing him? I mean, he could be sitting in a chair at a meeting.
Yeah.
And then just gets up and leaves.
I mean, it could be a cameo.
Yeah, he could never have a line. And, you know, I think the last time there was an uproar like this, it was when they digitally recreated young Kevin Flynn for Tron Resurrection.
And people lost their minds over that. And the technology for what was accessible technology-wise at the time, I think they did a perfectly serviceable job.
I think it was fun. And that's 5 or 6 years ago at this point.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm certainly thinking we could do at least that level of job for a Star Wars movie. I can only imagine it's probably going to be even better than that. Mm. And again, I think we're talking more like a cameo here rather than an actual, you know, like he's a main
a full
character.
Major character, yeah, like Clue slash I don't see young
that.
Flynn were.
I see him maybe giving a scolding look to what's his name, Hannibal. Who's got to be an Imperial something or other in this movie?
Of course, the one argument that had troubled me is a lot of people. You know, this popped up on Twitter and on a lot of the Facebook threads that
Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah.
It's a disrespect to Peter Cushing, which I honestly out and out disagree with.
Well,
I think it's endearing to Peter Cushing, and playing to the fact that here's a guy who has played this character and played it so masterfully and is so locked in iconically to Tarkin that they feel that there's no choice but to digitally recreate what Peter Cushing did.
Yeah.
I think that's an endearing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's endearing and high respect because they can just as easily save the money and save the time and hire Charles Dance.
Yep.
Hire Tim Roth. Hire actor XYZ.
Right.
And they're not doing that.
That was the guy that played him in Episode 3.
Right.
They're going through
painstaking efforts, money, and they're going through all kinds of footage, you know, from his old horror films and whatnot to really try and get the references and get this down. That's a major process and a major cost.
And I think
that's done with love.
And they said it,
not disrespect.
They said it in the little bit of an article. It's the most costly CGI recreations ever.
Yep.
According to rumors. So, I feel the same way you do. I just think, first of all, I don't think they could do it without the permission of his estate.
That too.
So, I mean, somebody in his family, he died in 94, so he'd been dead a good while now.
Right.
And which is fine, but I have to imagine somebody in the family had to sign off on this.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I can't imagine whatever releases he signed don't extend quite that far beyond the grave.
That's what I mean. But I'm thinking somebody must have had it in mind to think, well, you know, I'm his relative. This is my decision. I think this is okay to do. So they're doing it. I mean, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure that they thought. I'm sure this wasn't a how much situation. I'm sure they gave it more thought than that.
Oh yeah. So I'm behind it, and I'm eager to see what they do with it. And I thumbs up all the way on that. We got anything else Star Wars related? Those were the biggies this week.
I think those are all the Star Wars things.
How about interested in some Marvel stuff?
Sure.
How's about S.H.I.E.L.D. is got a little spinoff happening. We've been that's been called in the community for quite a while.
Predicting it forever.
Right, right. And now it's official.
Right.
Adrian Palicki and Nick Blood. Mm-hmm. Coming on as Bobby Morse and Lance Hunter for their Marvel's Most Wanted series.
Right. And she's Mockingbird.
Yep.
I don't know that he has a – oh, it says that she's a.k.a. Mockingbird. He's just Lance Hunter. Dun, dun, dun.
He's a creation for the show, correct? Does he come from the comics in any stretch?
Honestly, I don't know. I'd have to look that up and see because I don't recall whether he is. He may be. I don't know. He may be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I don't know.
But the
fact that they're spinning it off is not a surprise.
Right.
Because, I mean, at some point they're going to have to do something – on ABC when S.H.I.E.L.D. is off the air. And I think this and S.H.I.E.L.D. and Sharon Carter, which I think is also coming back.
Right.
I think, you know, this kind of rounds it out if they do this, you know, if they do the year in thirds,
right.
You know,
so they've always got an iron in the fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's the way Marvel wants it. Marvel wants something on TV all the time.
There's no lack of Marvel for any long stretch of time at all. You've either got a movie that's just premiered or a TV show right behind it. Netflix has got everything covered too. So Marvel is in the game practically 365 days a year, and that's goddamn impressive. I'm just kind of iffy on this particular show. It just strikes me as a bit of an odd spinoff to me.
It is a kind of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Kind of feeling. Plus they do have an interesting chemistry, I think, as characters.
Right.
So that's interesting.
And what's also nice is to, you know, Marvel is seemingly trying in some respect to answer the calling for good, solid, strong female leads taking the reins. And they've done a masterful job with Agent Carter. I think Palicki's great as Bobby Morse.
Sure.
She kicks all the ass and is a lot of fun and has a really good handle on that part. And as she crosses over into the Mockingbird realm,
right?
You know, we'll see if I think she can carry a show pretty well.
Yeah, I think it will be good. I think the way Marvel makes this a success is that they got to throw something in there, like some. It's got to tie in somewhere, not just to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It has to tie higher than that.
Civil War,
something like that.
Yeah, my personal bias. I really dig Deathlok. And I was really finger crossing that he might have gotten a little something out of it, but
you never know.
We'll see. We'll see what happens down the line. I mean, all the properties are rich and ready to roll. What else we got? I don't know this guy at all, but sticking with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we've got a new Inhuman in the cast.
This character. Well, we should say it's the former football player Matthew Willig. Is going to play Lash in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Lash is one of the newer Inhumans. Very, very new.
Okay.
It's not been around very much at all, which on the one hand is kind of a surprise that they're going for, again, another sort of way unknown Inhuman character. I mean, I guess I kind of understand why they're doing that, because they want to save the big names, the big Inhuman names for the movie.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I imagine what's going to happen is Inhumans are just going to start popping up all over, and I think the movie is going to be Black Bolt having to come to Earth to kind of cull the herd a little bit because maybe they're getting a little out of hand.
And we'll probably
be a good, that would be a good premise for that movie.
We'll probably see in the show as the film gets cast, they might slip him into the show and to get people geared up for the film in a, you know, one or two episodes.
He's a big dude, so an ex-football player playing him is kind of appropriate. He's a big spiky dude, does a lot of stuff with energy and power and stuff. So it's, I mean, it's not outstanding in any way. It's not like they cast him as, you know, Lockjaw or something like, you know, like where you'd be like, whoa, like that's a huge character. Like, you know, it's not like that. He's as minor as they come. It's kind of good that they're, again, I don't mind them fleshing out these little characters because my expectation is that they will flesh out the characters we want to see in upcoming, like in the movie, for example. So I don't mind them doing these little things with S.H.I.E.L.D. and TV shows where they're taking these little minor characters and developing them. I think that makes for a richer universe. Everybody can't be Iron Man.
Right.
Fleshing out little characters like this works for me.
And it's, and representing all of these characters as they go along, you're it's just like they're building a their cinematic universe like the comic universe, and people are going to start to latch on to their own personal favorites that may not necessarily be in the Avengers, but you're going to find your Deathlok fans, you know, following that storyline and so on. I'm almost wondering if we've reached that sort of point where there's just so much to keep up with that you got to stop collecting issues. Like, you know, well, you know, listen, I don't have the time to watch show ABC because, and it's not a character I'm really interested in, so I'm not going to collect those issues and even bother with that program.
Sure.
And you could still, you know, they're so good about making each individual piece its own standalone thing that you don't need to necessarily see Daredevil, though.
Right.
Why would you skip that? But you don't necessarily need to see it to still have a fulfilling Marvel Cinematic Universe experience.
Yeah, like I'm going to watch it, but I'm not in any special way looking forward to Jessica Jones.
Right.
I'm not really looking, honestly, and again, I'm going to watch them, but I'm not really looking forward to Power Man and Iron Fist, either together or individually.
Right.
I'd like to see how they're going to put all that together for Defenders. That one I'm interested in just to see how they're going to bring it together.
I'll watch them for completion's sake.
That's it.
For right now. And,
that's it.
And
that's
David Tennant. I'm interested to see what he does with his role. I would have loved to see him in something a little bit more meaty and
well, we don't know yet,
star-related,
though.
But I mean, where does he go from Purple Man? You
right.
know, that's, he's now in the universe as Purple Man. You know.
Oh, well.
You know, so it's an interesting commitment. Almost like Chris Pine being not somebody he should have been.
Marvel, on the flip side of things, where we are all excited about Marvel's live-action ventures, on the comic side, Marvel continues to do dumb shit.
Wondering where you're going to stand on this one.
Where we're going now is that Marvel's going to be putting cosplayers on the cover of its biggest comics for the month of October, which is cute, you know, because it's October, so it's Halloween, so it's costume. I get it. But again, it's new variant. It's going to be cosplay variants of all these books. And they're all number ones, zeros, or in a very rare case, a number two. And they've let out the list of who some of these cosplayers are going to be. And that's all well and good and everything. But honestly, with the gimmick covers, I mean,
just
enough.
Tell good stories. Just tell the stories.
They can't even tell good stories, but they're worried about, we got to get some cosplayers on the cover. That's not going to make people read your book, Marvel. Your shitty, 9 times out of 10, your shitty book that no one reads. I'm going through this list. A-Force, All New Inhumans, Amazing Spider-Man, Astonishing Ant-Man, Avengers, Captain Marvel, Daredevil, number one, which I'm kind of debating whether I'm going to even pick up and read. Doctor Strange, number one. Extraordinary X-Men. Guardians of the Galaxy, number one. That'll be their third or fourth. Miss Marvel, Nova. Sam Wilson, Captain America, number one. You know, like, it's all kind of
classified.
I know. Whatever that one is. Uncanny Inhumans. Uncanny Avengers. The Mighty Thor. Spider-Woman. Spider-Gwen. I mean, Nova number one. I don't want to read any. I probably out of some stupid sense of loyalty, I will probably read the awful Sam Wilson Captain America book. I'm not reading another thing on here. I'm just not going to do it.
I may touch Daredevil because I've been getting very
I've been reading Daredevil since I was nine.
Mm.
And the book is so bad. It was so bad in the last 2 years that I had to stop reading it. That's how bad it was.
Eek. Now, I'm way behind on my reading, so I'm in a Mark Waid run, actually, which I'm enjoying immensely.
You're a bit behind.
Yeah, I got a ways to go. Yeah.
When you get to like the Chris Samnee ones, which they're horrendous. Anyway, the point is I know we talked. I think we talked on this show about what the possibilities of, or at least what Marvel is saying, the new Daredevil book will kind of be about a little bit.
Mm.
So I'm kind of intrigued in the sense that I might give that a shot.
Right.
But man,
you've been at it since nine. I mean, it's a number one.
Well, that's why I'm reading
a number
Cap.
One a shot, and you get a fancy new cosplay variant cover too. Kev,
I shan't be buying any cosplay variant anything.
The article here is unclear to me. Now, are they using? Are they photographing these cosplayers,
yes.
or are these artists doing renditions of the cosplayers
and
the costumes?
No, they're photographing the cosplayers. That's my understanding. It says the cosplayers will be on the cover, so. Cosplay variant, and they give the names, and there's a whole list. Google it if you want to see who what your favorite cosplayer might be doing.
Cosplay is a beautiful, wonderful thing. I love it, and the cosplayers that are out there are astounding in their artistry and recreating these costumes and whatnot. But it just strikes me. It bristles me a little bit that we're kind of cross contaminating it a bit. Cosplay is more the hobby end of things, and this is giving it a more serious sort of angle that I can't put words to.
I get you.
Tweaking me,
it's gimmicky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I hate about it. It's just another. I mean, I would rather have Scotty Young covers on every book than to be dealing with cosplay. I'd rather have. I mean, and DC is trying to do it now too, which is pissing me off because if anything, they should learn to stand on their own 2 feet. And stop following Marvel into every bad decision that they make. I mean, that's what seems to be happening.
Just look the 90s weren't that far away. look at the history.
Yeah.
Look what it did to the industry.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do it again.
Yep. Nope. It's just different. It's not die cut, prismatic, foil, glow in the dark, one in a thousand variant covers. It's cosplay.
Don't forget with the trading cards.
Do we have a phone call that we want to slip into? Segment one.
We got one we can sneak in here real quick from our buddy Sea Monkey.
Sea Monkey
was asking us about something here. Let me get him called up, and here we go.
Hey guys, Frank at Sea Monkey 67 on Twitter. Just wanted to call and see if you guys caught the new Flash trailer for season 2.
Oop.
Just took a look at it today. Looks pretty cool. Some cool stuff going in it. Blue lightning. Don't know what that's about. Keeping it short. Talk to you guys. Have a good show. Bye.
Oh, you know what? I did hear about that trailer, but I didn't have a chance. Did you have a chance to see it?
I did not.
I think OG would be the person to comment on that. OG? Oh. Oh, I. Oh, that's right. Well, I guess we will have to withhold our comments about that trailer till next week or later in this program.
Unless old moonlighting shows up before we wrap this fucker up.
Old moonlighting. you know, again, there's another thing to be excited about. The Arrowverse is the DC live action project to be excited about. So if they're going to be doing something new, that's great. And didn't we see – isn't there something that we had in the news about a
there's a the Vixen series that's underway here. It's going to be an animated web series. Mark Guggenheim is putting that together. And it hit us on August 25th, actually, just yesterday. It's part of the online streaming platform that the CW hosts.
Right.
So it's, if you're familiar with it all, it's based on, Mary McCabe, however you pronounce that, known as the Vixen. And, she is the animated series itself is set in the Arrowverse from TV,
which is great, which means she could possibly make an appearance on any one of those programs, which would be a great idea just to kind of solidify her place in the universe.
Right.
And this is clearly a character who can use the abilities of any animal that's ever lived on Earth, I believe is her power. And so clearly as an animated program, I think it'll work a lot better.
Oh, yeah. if they do try to do a crossover, that's somebody new they would have to cast, or because it's an animated show, but
yeah, they'd have to cast somebody for the, yeah, if she ever appeared live action, all sure. Right. Or Stephen Amell would have to do the voice of Arrow if the animated Arrow appeared on the Vixen show.
And speaking of Stephen Amell and being animated, did you see the SummerSlam antics at all?
I didn't.
Do you still follow that?
No.
Me neither. I'm not a wrestling person at all.
You know what? You know who we should ask about this? Is very interested in this. OG, let's get some comments from OG about Stephen Amell at SummerSlam. OG, anything? OG, comment. Ah, I see.
I wish I had the Moonlighting theme song programmed in this.
Always,
I think of these things too late.
Always bringing a lot to the table, that OG is, especially this episode.
Well.
He's going to be so mad at you that you said that, PK.
Terrible. I'm a terrible friend.
Awful. So I think this would probably be a good opportunity for us to take a break.
That sounds about good.
All right, PK. So we'll take that break right now on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 385.
Wait. Before we take that break, yes. First of all, thank you again, Sea Monkey, for your
yes.
voicemail that we have absolutely no information on. But if you would like to call in with a question that we also can't answer, you can reach us at the GBM line at...
Do you know?
I do know. But I figure we do the whole thing with the queuing and whatnot.
No, I just want to see if you know it without looking at that paper.
Go ahead. Hit me with the cue.
Okay. So you can give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
I hardly saw you looking at that
barely,
paper.
I barely
looked at it.
That's magic for you.
Yes. And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff where we will answer your question, hopefully. So with that, let's take that break, PK, and we'll be right back.
Yep.
Ahoy, hoy. Welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Preserving the Institute, which are the Mega Man archives, Capcom is releasing Mega Man Legacy Collection for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The collection contains Mega Man 1 through 6 remade and emulated, which should be one thing or the other, but the point is, they're perfect versions of the NES games that you know and love. Mega Man Legacy Collection is out now for $15 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Until Dawn was completely off my radar when I assumed it was a third-person survival game like Clock Tower. Turns out I was wrong. Dead wrong. The game is now completely on my radar now that I know it's a third-person interactive horror movie, where your choices affect the story with branching paths and alternate outcomes. It's like a Telltale adventure game, but the theme is teenagers being hunted down and murdered by Jason Voorhees. Until Dawn is out now for $60 on PlayStation 4. Madden NFL 16. It's the annual football video game. It comes out every year. You already know if you're the type of person who's gonna buy Madden. Do you buy it every year, or do you not buy it every year? You already know. And now time for some old video games. Gears of War Ultimate Edition is out now for the Xbox One. It's a slightly enhanced version of the classic Xbox 360 shooter, but with higher resolution and about the same 30 frames per second frame rate. For $40, there's better ways to spend your money than on a 10-year-old game. Unless you include the fact that you get Gears of War 1, 2, 3, and Judgment as digital downloads via Xbox 360 backwards compatibility with the purchase of Ultimate Edition for Xbox One. Even still, there's new games coming out. Speaking of old games for $40, Dishonored Definitive Edition. One of my favorite games. Replayed it recently on the Xbox 360. But this Definitive Edition is not so drastically improved that you couldn't buy the last-gen version for dirt cheap and still have a great time. $40 for the next-gen version versus $10 or less for the Game of the Year edition for last-gen. It's not a convincing argument. And finally, next week's news now. September 1st marks the release of Metal Gear Solid V: The Phantom Pain, and what will be the most overshadowed game, Mad Max. Your summer is over, because the new releases are here. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail, complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
Yes, and you can get started today building one of the greatest Star Wars collectibles in my memory. And my memory goes back quite a long way. Not as long as OG's.
Because, oh, no, not at all.
Because he's older and balder.
Right.
You can call 877-544-6779 to get started right now on buildthemillenniumfalcon.com. Again, not to belabor the point, one of the greatest collectibles I've ever seen. And what's great about it also is this is one of those things you always see and you're like, oh, man, if I had money, I would pluck down the two or whatever grand it would be to get one of these with working lights and all of the detailed interior. Not only are you going to get it, you're gonna pay a little bit each month and you're going to build it. That means you can build it the way you want. You can paint it the way you want. And it's already painted, but that doesn't mean you can't do more like weathering and things. I know I'm going to be doing that.
That'll damage it up.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So definitely check that out. And in conjunction with the fine people at buildmillenniumfalcon.com, we have an exciting Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon sort of contest.
Okay.
So in order to get somebody started on buildmillenniumfalcon.com, and we have had a huge response ever since these guys have become a sponsor of this program, huge response. But for people who have been sort of maybe wondering, should I start? Well, Big Kev's Geek Stuff and the Begathon are going to give you the opportunity to get – now check this out. You're going to get box one. You're going to get box two.
Oh.
You're going to get the folio, which is kind of the – sort of the outside hardcover portion that you put all of the booklets that come with it.
Oh,
that
like
give
the,
information about the ship.
The things they used to give with Sports Illustrated and all that to
kinda
keep
like
your
that.
Issues
safe. Yeah, 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 like okay. that. And you're also going to get a rolled, not folded, rolled copy of the Millennium Falcon blueprints that were made specifically for this item. So what's cool about that little added bit on the end – I mean the whole thing is awesome. What's really cool about the bit on the end is that those blueprints come folded. However, we have made arrangements with the Build Millennium Falcon people to get a special rolled version suitable for framing.
Nice.
To go with this particular giveaway that we're doing here. So again, box one and box two of buildthemillenniumfalcon.com. Those are valued at, what, like $60 a piece,
something like that. Yep.
You're also getting the folio. You're also getting the rolled blueprints from Millennium Falcon. You're also getting the opportunity to pick up with box three. We'll give you a special number to call, and they'll start your subscription at box three. So you're getting a huge jump on the game right out of the gate, and here's all you have to do. You have to send us an email at geekstuffog@gmail.com. That's geekstuffog@gmail.com, and make us an offer. Now, it's very ambiguous. It's very open. It does not have to be money, although I'm not excluding money. This is the Begathon. Make us an offer. What is the opportunity to hop on board one of the finest collectibles worth to you? And we're going to take the most interesting and we're going to take the most beneficial to the show and beneficial to the Begathon answer. And that person will get the prize as described. We'll help you get set up so you can pick up with box three. It's going to be fantastic.
I can't wait to see these emails.
There's going
to
be nothing sexual that will be accepted. So you clowns can just put your keyboard down. If we're looking for some real offers, this is the Begathon. This is part of the Begathon. We're looking for you to help out the show. What can you do? What can you provide the show? A unique thing. And again, not discounting cash. not discounting cash, not discounting anything at this point. We need equipment. What if you work for a company that can somehow provide us some equipment that we might need? What if you're like, hey, I own a sandwich shop right near the Javits Center, and
hey, there you go.
You know, I'll bring you guys lunch at New York Comic Con.
What if you're Harrison Ford and you really want this thing?
There you go. I'm sure if Harrison Ford really wanted this thing, I'm quite sure he could have it easier than this contest. But that said, those emails to geekstuffog@gmail.com. We're going to give this a couple of weeks. We're not announcing the end date yet. We're going to be talking about it each week for the next couple. And then we'll announce an end date on this next week. The end date is not next week. We will announce the end date next week. And then I think it's really great of the Bill Millennium Falcon folks to let us do this to help out the show. And I think it's going to be really great for whoever wins it. So, yeah, check that out.
That's a hell of a kickoff, yeah.
It is.
It's a damn shame I came aboard this show, because I'd probably be out there making an offer to try and get my hands on this shit.
Yeah, but your offers are just weird.
Well, I'm unique.
It's true. They are unique.
Thank you, GameStuff,
for
a lovely contribution there.
Coke Logic with a GameStuff there that you also heard, which is awesome. We love the GameStuff. And he's done it. Is that number incorrect? Is that like number 88?
When I popped it in, I was a little shocked, because I had no idea he's been doing this that long.
He has been doing it really a long time. So.
And you know, again, same kind of deal. You know, the 400 is not necessarily the amount of actual weeks.
That's true.
So, you know, 80 plus episodes, but you know, he's missed a week or two here and there for various
reasons. But still.
So he's been at it a long time
with this program. Yep.
Awesome.
It's true.
So what do we got?
He's lasted longer than Little Fifi's Who Stuff.
Oh, Jesus.
And I know if he was this is usually the place where OG would make a comment about Big Kev Eats Stuff. So let's give him that opportunity. OG, comment. Uh-huh. I see.
Mm.
So once again, OG, yeah. Coming to the table.
Okay. Very nice. So what do we got? We got a voicemail.
You think he's as quiet on that other show?
On Moonlighting?
I'm just saying.
No.
Moonlighting.
I'm going to dig that theme song up eventually.
Nintendo.
We'll have some fun with that.
Nintendo wants to do more than make games. My opinion, too damn late, Nintendo.
Yeah, day late, dollar short. I'm sorry.
There was reports of a live-action Zelda Netflix series, but Nintendo says that wasn't true. A lot of things that they want to be involved in, they just haven't been able to get anything going yet. And what's the news now? Nintendo and Universal Studios talking about partnering up on some projects.
No, I get that. Like, doing some theme park attraction sort of stuff would be fine, and I'd be all for that. But as far as them entering the movie market, and here's the actual quote. Where he says, as we look more broadly at what is Nintendo's role as an entertainment company, we're starting to think more and more about how movies can fit in with that. And we'll potentially be looking at things like movies in the future.
Yeah, but...
Stick with what you know, man.
But here's the thing, PK. What they know is Nintendo U, which was a colossal failure, right along the lines of Sega CD. Sega Saturn.
Hey, man, that was... Don't knock the Sega CD in that Dana Plato game that I can't come up with the name of right now.
Dana Plato game?
When the Sega CD first hit, it was some sort of like a Stalker in a House game.
And it was live action, the voice?
And she was in it live action.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, what the hell was the name of that? It'll come to me.
I'm a Coked Out Whore?
I think it was the working title.
News about Valerian, which is Luc Besson's return to sci-fi. Clive Owen, cast in the movie, and will be playing a significant role. This is a really, really, I think this is going to be one of those deep science fiction. I think he's going the opposite direction of Fifth Element. Where Fifth Element was kind of jokey and fun.
Right.
I think this is
a serious
look
at it.
It sounds like a pretty serious thing to me. So yeah, so we have Clive Owen joining that. Does it say who he is? I don't think it says who he is. Oh, he's playing Commander Arun Fillet.
Okay.
And we have no idea who that is.
Not a clue. So this is an original story by him? I don't know of anything that the name doesn't familiar for something based on a book.
No, it's adapted from the French comic series Valerian and Loreline by Pierre Christian and artist Jean-Claude Mézières, created in 1967. Wow. The comic has sold over 10 million copies in 21 languages. I have never heard of this comic.
Me neither. But I have excitement to that. I mean, listen, I am a very big fan of Snowpiercer, and
right.
that comes from a French graphic novel as well. So hey,
I still haven't seen that. I really want to.
You should soon. I have some friends that bafflingly don't enjoy it, but personally, the movie itself, I love. Very enjoyable.
Does he use the shield in that movie?
Like twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And it's called an axe.
Oh.
Which is pretty phenomenal. But he's, if nothing else from an acting perspective, he's got a monologue at the end of that film that's worth the price of admission alone. His performance is stellar. The monologue is stellar. Check that movie out.
I definitely got to check that out.
But yeah, this interests me. I like what Besson did with Lucy, which was also a series.
Is that Luc Besson?
That's Besson too,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
I actually just saw that the other day for the first time.
It's an impressive flick.
I thought so.
Yeah.
That's the movie that should have been the Black Widow movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
oh, she can't carry a movie by herself? Oh, okay.
Gotta be here. Clearly not.
Try okay. This. Yeah, it was really good.
So, yeah, I'm going to be keeping a sharper eye on that, now, especially now that Clive Owen's involved. I dig his work, and it's good to see Clive Owen getting back into some heavy sci-fi. I think Children of Men is spectacular.
Yes.
Yeah, this will be fun to see him in Luc Besson's hands.
And not lastly, because I think we still have a phone call.
We do have a voicemail to go to, yes.
Let's talk about this first. The latest trailer for Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yes.
Is amazing.
A lot of the same imagery, you know, we've seen in the previous bit, but there's some added gore and some extra blowy epi nonsense.
Yeah, and some added jokes.
Yeah, and some added visual jokes, and the trailer ends with a rather hilarious, very Ash moment.
Very.
Which I'll just leave completely untouched.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't seen the trailer, check it out.
Definitely check that out. I'll have OG put a link up to that.
Yep.
So people can check that out right
now,
over at BigKevGeekStuff.com.
Here lies my question for the community. I tried some creative Googling in the break, and I couldn't come up with it. But I am not a Starz subscriber.
Right.
I don't wish to be a Starz subscriber.
But you want
to
watch
But I want to watch this show,
Dead, right.
And I want to watch it legit. I don't want to, you know, go through channels to see this.
Oh, I see.
I mean, by any means necessary, I'll make it happen. I'll come knocking on your door if I gotta.
The OG method.
But I'm curious, and I'd like to support the show.
Sure.
You know, so...
looks great.
I would be interested in purchasing it. So my question is, does anybody have any insight? I can't find it worth a damn. Will Starz release this thing to, say, the iTunes, where I can...
Simultaneously?
Are they releasing it to the iTunes? How old am I? Jesus.
Well, maybe if you look on the Google...
I'll check the Google on the computer webs and see. But I'm just curious if they're going to release it to iTunes, and I'll be able to pre-order and purchase it, just like, I'll, you know, and as each episode releases, I can download it and watch it and be happy.
If you think you have an answer to PK's question, give us a call at the GVM line
at 425-920-6050.
Yeah, and let us know what you find out about that, if that's going to be a thing. Yeah, yeah, I definitely want to support that show. I definitely want to see it, so I'll keep my Star subscription for just now.
Good man.
Yeah.
All right. So how about a voicemail, huh?
Yeah, we have one left, right?
Yeah, yes, we do, from our buddy Scanner51.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Scanner51 here with another set of Star Wars food product reviews. Two, pretty quick. The first one is the Star Wars fruit snack. They taste like any other fruit snack that Betty Crocker puts out, so no complaints here. I eat them. My kid eats them, so they're fine. Go ahead and buy those. Second one is the Jelly Bellies, the Star Wars Jelly Bellies. Nothing special here. You get 8 different flavors, but they're just the regular Jelly Belly flavors, just with like little sparkle sprinkle things in it, and that's what they are. So yeah, nothing special there. but, you know, I thought maybe they would do what they did with Harry Potter a few years back, but no such luck. Anyway, you guys have a good show. Bye.
All right. So it's, yeah, and we want to thank, of course, we love when you guys review stuff out in the field or go to shows, so by all means, keep those coming in. And we want to thank Scanner 51 for those quick reviews. I mean,
it's Scanner 51 eats stuff. That's it's becoming a thing now.
No. It should be noted that I tried to find those products today so that the three, I mean, two of us could could sample them and give our own opinions. Mm. But I suspect he's correct. The fruit snacks are probably just.
It just seems like it's
same goo, different mold. Yeah. And as far as the Jelly Bellies go, it doesn't surprise me that Jelly Belly is doing this, that they're not changing the flavor and that they probably dusted them with some sort of edible sprinkle or something. Mm. Yeah, that just seems appropriate to me.
I'm a little surprised, though, that they're not, you know, touching on the gross factor that we all get such a big kick out of. You know, there's not a
– The Bots Beans thing?
Yeah. There's not a Bantha Poodoo sneaky one in there or a Chewbacca –
Hey, this
sweat.
This is a serious take on candy, PK.
Oh, I'm very sorry about that.
This is Jelly Belly. They are a serious company. You and Bots Beans, of course, turned into Bean Boozled.
Right.
Which we had a lot of fun with on this program. A lot of fun at New York Comic, I was Toy Fair that year. When we first got them and we were daring each other to eat them as we were walking. I don't want to say what happened. One of our buddies,
Mr. Mac.
Yes, correct.
that debacle.
Who I believe, I don't think it was it vomit that he, I don't remember what it was. It was one that he said was the grossest thing that he has ever tasted in his life. So I don't think, I think they're just trying to get the tie-in product and not have it be any sort of – Bots Beans was appropriately directly tied into them because, you know, beans, Bots Beans. Bots Beans was a candy. It made sense at the time for them to do that. There's no sort of bean thing in the Star Wars universe for them to hop onto. So I just think it's a straight up, you know, trademark.
Unless they perfected a way to have the beans themselves give you.
Don't say the M word. Don't say the M word.
The munchies.
The munchies. Yeah. Very good. They are a cure for the munchies, actually. Yeah. And besides being a cure for the munchies, they're also a source of diabetes. So
Lovely. You
can check those out somewhere in a store. I know I looked in two stores today and I couldn't find either one of those products. So.
I mean, is this a supermarket kind of thing or you got to look in the old specialty shops?
Where do you
find these things in the first place?
Force Friday is next week, sir. All of these things will start drenching, saturating the market, every market, apparently food as well, starting next week. And of course, we will take a remote to Force Friday. We'll let you know where we're going to be for Force Friday next week. And we'll let you know next week where we're going to be for Force Friday, which is also next week, is what I meant by that.
So this is next week. We're doing that. Okay.
Wait, I'm confused.
anyway. So.
Oh.
Oh.
That music seems familiar.
I wonder what that means.
Have we made it through the whole episode without OG?
I believe we have.
Can we get some final words?
Well, I wanted to comment on one thing. We discovered something over the weekend that is utterly tremendous. Chat Roulette had an incredible thing happen on there. And frankly, Chat Roulette just needs to shut down now at this point because these folks have won Chat Roulette.
Let's save it for next week.
Let's ask Matt what his thoughts were on the zombie Chat Roulette game.
OG, comment? Uh-huh. Mm. Okay. So maybe OG will have additional comments on that topic next week on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Until then, we should tell you, you can check us out over at bkgeekstuff.com. Damn, I don't remember what he says every week. Check us out over at bkgeekstuff.com where you can get all of our episodes and see pictures having to do with this episode. You can check us out on Facebook /BigKevsGeekStuff. Just Google it. You can check us out on Instagram. It's... I think
Guess what? Guess what happened since last week? And it's his fault.
Are you on the Instagram?
I'm on the gram now.
Oh, what's your thing?
I am under K. Robert Marlowe, M-A-R-L-O.
Uh-huh.
And you can check out Geek Stuff OG is over there as well.
And BK Geek Stuff, I think, is what our Instagram is that I've never, ever
there's
posted
anything.
There's
not a single... I went to follow you. There's not a single photo.
Twitter. You can reach us at Twitter. It's Geek Stuff OG,
mm-hmm.
at BK Geek Stuff, and at...
K.R. Marlowe. On that one. So sorry for the confusion, but yeah, Instagram won't let me get my old name back on there.
The Begathon is still going on. Please check out the links in the auctions and become involved. If auction's not your style, you just want to donate, by all means, please go to bkgeekstuff.com and use the PayPal button over there to do that. And support the show. We desperately need your support, guys. Desperately need it. So thank you very much for
I called
all
you guys awesome before, and I meant it. So
it's true.
Don't prove me wrong.
They are
go
awesome.
Do those things.
And also, we want to thank our sponsor, BillMillenniumFalcon.com, and the contest that we're having. Once again, give us a email over at GeekStuffOG@gmail.com with your offer for the exciting prize package, boxes 1, 2, the folio, and the rolled blueprints for the Millennium Falcon. So, and we're going to be looking for some of those to start rolling in. Am I forgetting it? I always I hate when he makes me do this stuff because I always forget something at the end.
I'm the new guy. So,
oh, there's a toy show this week. Crud. I totally forgot what that toy show is.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I think it's New Jersey. It's not New Jersey Collectors Con. Look, if you Google toy show and New Jersey and this Saturday and Sunday's date, that's where at least I'll be there on Saturday. Possibly OG will be there with me as well, or maybe not. Maybe he'll pop over there on Sunday, but definitely check it out. It's from the guys that bring the Wayne Toy Show and some other great toy shows. It's a really good show, and we'll talk about my experience or our experience at it next week. And
I'll be at the New York Renaissance Fair this Saturday. It begins their Celtic weekend this weekend, so look for myself and my lovely bride up there.
Look for
if you are an owner of a kilt, show your colors. Come on up, and maybe let's clink a mug.
That's good. Clink in a mug.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, PK, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close the way we bring all episodes to a close by saying, troll the respawn, Jeremy.
And on that note, we cue the music.